Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you.
WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio, starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D, bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox Sports Radio 1348 96.9 FM. As always, I'm your host Glenn Thomas with me at the Wizard himself, Nephew Corey. What's going on, Wizard?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Man, nothing much, man. A lot going on in the world of professional wrestling. A lot of talks about how WWE writing has not been the greatest. And a lot of talk about Sasha Banks and Leo Rush not making the European tour. It's a lot going on in the WWE right now.
Yeah,
let's get started with the Sasha Banks and Leo Rush situation. Not making a European tour. No one is surprised. I know I'm not surprised to see them, neither one of these guys make the European tour. It's almost to the point now in WWE. It's cool to just go ahead and set at home and let WWE pay.
If you want out
your contract.
Yeah, it's interesting because WWE is pretty much enforcing that thing now where they got you under contract. They're not letting you go. So, I mean, either you're going to want to go somewhere or you're not. I mean, either you're going to make the most of, being there while you're there or you're not. And so pretty much at this point, WWE is like, okay, y'all don't want to be here? That's fine. We're not going to make you come, but we're going to keep you under contract. So,
right. And which people don't understand, and to share with our listeners, WWE can hold that contract as long as it's wanted. Because at least that you're not working, they can say
they can extend it,
i.e. Luke Harper. So, therefore, we might, at this point, Sasha Banks and Leo Rush may have need to come to terms, or they just might be stuck to a WWE contract for a long time.
Yeah, it's going to be something. It's going to be something.
But, the other thing that we talked about, and I talked with Brian H. Waters, we're breaking down on Brian H., is really no one's missing either one of these two guys off of TV.
No. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but you're not. Not at this point. They weren't integral with anything at the moment, so you're not really missing nothing. You're right.
Yeah, you're not missing them. I mean, and really, it's for WWE superstars to let you know that you're not bigger than the company. I mean, the company has to take a stance. When only superstar that I can remember in past times that the wrestling community missed when it was gone was Roman Reigns. Missed him. Ratings drops a little bit. And you missed him for a while, but then another star took over. So WWE is at the point now where they have a lot of stars that they can just bring up new ones and let the other ones. So the women's division is still hot. When you talk about Lacey Evans, Becky Two Belts, Charlotte Flair, and then you go on.
You know what? First of all, shout out to our other host, Champ Creed. He'll hate me for this, but I don't care. I'm not too sure how hot Becky Two Belts is right about now. She is, but I don't think I don't think she's where they thought she was going to be. I think I want to put it like that.
Right. Now, her feud is
the one
with Lacey Evans is hot. Now, the one with Charlotte Flair, I think everybody's tired of seeing, is getting on the John Cena and Randy Orton level.
Yeah. I don't know. It's something, and I like Becky. I don't dislike her, but it's something about, I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. But it feels like something's missing since she got the belt. It's like since she got it, it's kind of like, okay. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know.
She don't have one dance partner. I think putting two belts on her, giving
her
double duty.
Because
you don't know which match to root for. She has too many dance partners. Right now, if it was just her and Lacey Evans, that's on fire. You know what I'm saying? Because you're looking at Lacey Evans, and I know it's more so, I know a lot of listeners out there say it's more so Lacey Evans than it is Becky that's carrying this feud. In my opinion, it's more Lacey Evans than Becky carrying this feud anyway, because Lacey's bringing some newness to it, some new fight, new antics in the ring. We want to see, Becky have some dance partners. I hate to say it, but they kind of miss Ronda.
Oh yeah. Oh no, no, no. They are, and I don't even care what anybody has to say about that. Oh, Jesus. No, no. Listen, they hurting without Ronda there right now. You gotta give Ronda her credit. They hurting without her right now. They are.
Because if we think about it, if we go back into WWE Women's Evolution, they really the Bella Twins had star power, right?
Yeah.
Paige had star power, right? Alexa Bliss had star power. Ronda Rousey has star power. Becky Two Belts doesn't have any star power.
Yeah, no.
And the fans are just happy to see the titles.
Right, as much as they hate it, and which I get and I agree to an extent, them not being on Total Divas kind of hurts that as far as the exposure to the other fan, you know, the casual fan that's tuning in, they don't know who
right.
they are. Like, and you know what? There's nothing wrong with them not being on Total Divas. There's nothing wrong with that because if they don't want to do it, they shouldn't have to, and they shouldn't have to be defined by being on there. However, you got to call a spade a spade. It hurts as far as exposure.
Right, because you don't have the casual woman fan or the casual man fan invested in you. Now you have to learn your storyline of who you are all over again. I think that's the problem that Becky's having right now. People can embrace the Lacey Evans, the Charlotte situation. You don't see that too high.
Yeah, well, Charlotte, not, you know, and not to discredit Charlotte for her star. She's a star all in her own right. But to the casual person, she's got that Flair name on her, man. They know who Ric Flair is. They're going to be like, oh, Charlotte, okay. So they're automatically going to be at least interested, you know?
Right. Becky Lynch, to me, should have always been booked as a Tommy Dreamer type character, where she was always chasing for the title. After she got it right now, she had nowhere else to go. And I think the fans were more interested in her getting it because it was something that was organic, not something that WWE wrote, and it developed over the period of time. And that when she became champion at WrestleMania, in the way that she became champion, let's not forget the botch at the end of the match. I think a lot of fans turned on her that way, too, because of the botch at the end of the match in WrestleMania. Turned south on her, and they couldn't sustain her title run. Because if you look at Daniel Bryan after he won at WrestleMania 30, after the fans popped and everything was good, he had some big marquee matchups after that before he got hurt. And so
realistically, he had marquee matchups going into that because after that,
right.
he only had one feud after that, and that was with Kane. And he had the one match with Kane in New Jersey at Extreme Rules, and then that was it.
Right, true. You know, Kofi's run, everybody's happy with Kofi. At least Kofi has two solid matches after he won the championship. The triple threat that he just had, the rematch with Daniel Bryan. He has defended it. He is successful, and those two matches were significant. Now, they was going down the wrong road with Kofi with the whole Seth Rollins situation. Night after WrestleMania, it was going south, but I'm glad they turned that stuff around.
So because this could have been bad as far as with Kofi. I'm glad they're giving them. I need Kofi to have a solid one or two clean pay-per-view wins. For me to, I mean, because I'm, and let's not get this twisted. I'm 100% behind Kofi, but it's to where, they're giving him these W's, but for the majority of people, I don't think people are gonna give those W's credit because they were on Raw, they were on SmackDown. Like it's like, okay, y'all throwing him one, but it's like I want him to have good quality wins on pay per view.
Point taken. I think he does win at Money in the Bank. I definitely think he hangs on to that championship until at least SummerSlam. I think he does that. I think he hangs on to it towards SummerSlam right now because other feuds, you can do a lot of different things with other people on the SmackDown brand, even if he bounced back to Raw. But go back to Becky real quick. I think the issue with Becky is that, once again, no dance partners. That's why I see a person like Alexa Bliss maybe winning the Money in the Bank again, 2 years in a row. They're cashing in. Because Alexa has that it factor.
Yeah. You know what? You know what? It's funny. I feel like before the year's out, I don't know why, I feel like we get Alexa as a baby face, man.
We might. We might. The fans are behind her.
Who's there right now that other than Becky that's, you know, marketable to an extent, that's in the upper realms of championship contention to say, okay, we can put something behind her. They're not going to turn Charlotte face again.
Nope.
Bailey's there, but it's like they're not doing nothing with her. I mean, Asuka's in a tag team. Naomi is, I love Naomi, but she's flat right now. They're not
she's
doing
flat.
Anything with her.
They're her not time was 2 years ago. 2 years.
Yeah.
Two years
and credit, you know, shout out to WWE and to her for making that work. She had a nice run. She really did. Nobody can ever say they never really gave her anything. Because they gave her a nice, solid run. Pretty
nice,
much,
solid run.
You know, sans the little hiccup with her knee injury, she was pretty much champion from February all the way to August. So they gave her a good 6 months on top. So they can't say they never gave her anything.
But Carmella had a nice run. You know, she had to help with James Ellsworth, but she still had a nice run. You know, and so when I look at the Money in the Bank, to me, logically, only one I do see winning that is Alexa Bliss. I'm nothing against Dana Brooke.
Yeah.
She's not.
You know
it.
What? I'm telling you, Dana and Ember, something about that.
Ember moves the other ones. That's my pick number two. Ember's number two, but I say Alexa Bliss, either Alexa Bliss or Ember Moon. I can't see anybody else.
I mean, I'm telling you, something about a Dana. You know what? If all the stuff surrounding Sasha Banks is legit as far as with Dana, I could see them just out of spite alone, and no discredit to Dana, but I could see them out of spite alone having having Dana Brooke win Money in the Bank just because apparently Dana's the one that took Sasha's spot. I could see them giving her Money in the Bank too, just because.
A la Zack Ryder and Neville. WrestleMania.
Yeah.
WrestleMania.
Yep.
I can see that happen. That is a possibility. That is a possibility. There's also lingering in the background that this could be the year that woman, whoever wins the Money in the Bank, doesn't cash in. She cashes in but loses.
I mean, we're 2 for 2 right now, women. You know, women's cashing wise. So,
It's definitely not as there. Other topic I want to get on tonight before we even get to the writers of Monday Night Raw is this Lars Sullivan situation, where there's a lot of emails, a lot of forum groups coming back out that Lars Sullivan said a lot of things about African Americans. Lars said things about Hispanics. Lars shared his views. Lars even said some things about Vincent Kennedy McMahon in his forum post. But the WWE, according to Brian Alvarez, said the WWE knew about this, and most likely Lars won't be punished. Your thoughts on this?
I mean, if they already knew about it, if this come out that they've known about it already, and he's been walking around this long, and they, mind you, whatever was wrong with him these past, you know, 4 or 6 months when he was out, I mean, at this point, they've already invested in him. I don't see anything happening to him. I really don't.
But I think it's bad for the company. If you have a guy who, now, mind you, it was a 2011.
But if they already knew about it, they've already moved past it.
The company has, but the boys in the back and the girls in the back, well, the Hispanics in the back, may not have. And that's the issue. Even though the company may have moved past it, the boys haven't moved past it in the back. Now you have a little bit more disgruntled employee back there because of a guy and his past comments. You know, we heard a lot of people say that's one of the reasons Cass got dismissed. because of his political views and his comments and being a Trump supporter. We know the situation with Hulk Hogan, how it took a minute for him to be able to get back into the locker room and everyone didn't accept him, i.e. Big E in the New Day. And, but, you know, Lars Sullivan being a young guy who's been already had anxiety issues, to me, pressure like this will just rear up his anxiety a little bit more. With
right,
WWE,
sure.
With WWE giving him the kind of the push they're giving him right now, building him to be a monster, you know? Even though he's working with R-Truth and the Hardy Boys, I'm just looking at from the employee standpoint how this may affect Lars down the road.
Right, yeah. It's going to be interesting because we don't know what's going to end up happening with them to where they've already invested all of this with him, at this point is yeah, they, I mean, that's my main thing. They've already invested so much, and I think they did know about it, and they moved on from it, so it don't even matter no more, for real.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the way it is. The company moved on about it. They're not going to do anything. They may be able to calm the fires down in the back. And it just adds to what the WWE is going through right now with the writing staff. It adds to what WWE is going through with some of their talents right now. It's starting to look like this billion-dollar company under Vince McMahon's watch is starting to unravel. Just a little bit. It's starting to unravel. And as AEW begin to spike up and begin to gear itself up, and in the weeks, and then here we're a couple of weeks away from Double or Nothing, and WWE struggling to get ratings on television. And we're getting into the part of summer where there are going to be no sports. There's no excuses. I know they can use the excuse now, NBA playoffs is on, but here in a couple of weeks, there'll be no more NBA playoffs.
Right.
And you'll be dealing with the summer. You're dealing with the summertime. And this is a time for you to get your ratings and get your people back, because we all know what happens in August, late August and September, the NFL and Monday Night Football, which if the ratings are dropping now and they don't write this thing, when Monday Night Football roll around, Raw's going to be in trouble. It would
yeah, AEW they are.
AEW sparking up and getting more interest and more, we don't know when they're going to go on TV. Rumors have it now that they're looking at September, October. They may be really in competition for TV time if AEW really sparks up and getting to move on. Now, you've been watching wrestling for a long time. I've been watching as well. What do you think, or do you, but let me ask this way. Do you see anything wrong with the writing?
I don't. I people are going to hate me for that. I don't. I just think it's that post-WrestleMania lull to where people are like, okay, they've already gone through so much of Mania. It takes time to process, you know, getting, you know, everything else done. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And getting used to what's going on now. It was a complete overhaul if you think about it at Mania. So we're in all new stuff.
And that's what my point is some things are working, some things are not. We know some of the names of teams didn't work, and that turned a lot of people off. We know that the shakeup was somewhat of a debacle where some people jumped from one brand to another, then back to the other brand. We know that there's some things there with the WWE and how things are situated. But my thing is, standpoint when I look at it and what I'm thinking about is that if many people or proponents ask for WWE or wrestling to have an off season, if this they had an off season, this is what we'll be getting, because we'll get a restart of storylines, we'll get a restart of new segments, a restart of new issues, and it will take a while to develop all over again. And I think that's where we at in WWE right now, where that stuff has to start to develop all over again. We're building a new dance party. You just shook the roster up. So now you got to find pieces to stick. You have to find feuds that people will be invested and interested in, and you still got to develop for a pay-per-view. And I think that's where we at with the WWE, that people aren't giving it much time. I like what Christopher Daniels said, you know, AEW Christopher Daniels, Kazarian said it, sorry, that back in the day of wrestling, it wasn't about storyline. They didn't know who the writer was. They didn't know who the booker was. You just watched wrestling, and you was a fan of being entertained. And I think a lot of wrestling fans now want to relive that excitement over and over again. We're almost like junkies. You want the first high over again. Every show has to be a five-star match, or every match has to be a five-star match, or every match has to be a pay-per-view quality match, and no one really wants to invest in the storyline. Now, granted, they did have some stupid storylines on Monday Night Raw the other night. One of the worst storylines I did see was the Uzi hot.
Yeah.
That was terrible. You made the Revival look like some bunch of idiots. It didn't go into sync. And then you had one of the best tag teams in the world, there, I might say. Not just in WWE, one of the best tag teams for the last 2 years in the world, the Usos, doing some comedy stuff. And then the next night, you have them fighting for the SmackDown Tag Team title.
It didn't make any sense.
Have you just made them look like a clown the night before? That's my issue. There's no consistency.
Yeah, none. Like, it's like, okay, you have them trying out this new comedy shtick, but then the next night to help get over and legitimize the team you're trying to make the tag champions, you break glass in case of emergency, you use the Usos. Like, what are you going to do? Are you going to have them as an act, or are you going to have them as a legitimate, tag team? I agree.
You know, and that's my thing. I enjoy the fact that Daniel Bryan is the tag team champion, Rowan. I think that is interesting. But also, what does that say about the rest of the tag team on SmackDown? That big.
Yeah.
Heavy
Machinery. You're right.
And I'm going to give a shout out to you. You said it. Heavy Machinery was just up there because they needed to call somebody up. They haven't done anything since they've been on the roster. The B team got beat up by The Miz. They could not have given that to any other. And you wasn't giving it to Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura. My thing
not
is, if Daniel Bryan had never gotten cleared, what was going to happen to the SmackDown tag team titles?
I mean, probably the contingency plan was, what's his name? Elias and Shane McMahon.
Right. It's just like right now it needs to be some consistency. You have the champions, you have Daniel Bryan, you have Rowan. So let's see some consistency here in the SmackDown tag team division, or bring some tag teams up. Man, goodness, the Street Profits, bring them up. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to disagree with you. Street Profits is one you got to kind of leave down there. And plus, now that I think about it, Street Profits won't get called up until Bianca gets called up, for the obvious.
Okay, yeah, true, yeah. Husband and wife,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, once she goes up, that's when they go up.
Right. Yeah, the husband and wife role is going on in WWE right now.
Yeah,
well, Undisputed Era.
Here's the thing about, okay, I get it. I get you saying, oh, you call these. I think they got to chill with the call-ups, man. I think they're losing more star power than what they're turning over into stars. So
you
got to leave some people down there for a while. You do. You just do.
Yeah,
you gotta let them chill.
Or can you send people back? I mean, we know Tyler Breeze has gone back.
Yeah, that's what I would do. If anything, I'd send people back. Like Nikki Cross, I would send her back. But they're not gonna send her back as long as, Killian Dane's on the main roster, because they're married too.
Right.
So.
Right.
I mean, I would send both of them back. I mean, at this point. But here's the thing. It's just such a fine line. Because you can't oversaturate and, say, oh, we send a bunch of people back to NXT, then it's too crowded in NXT. We got to remember, they only got an hour show. You can't get everybody on the show. And I mean, I'm going to be that guy. And it's a lot of people that say, oh, NXT needs 2 hours. I think they're fine at 1 hour. As long as they're on the network, I think they're fine at 1 hour, man. It gives you just enough. Like, I could be totally wrong, but I think 2 hours is too much for them.
Yeah, 2 hours is too much for them. You know, let them continue to do their house show. Let them continue to develop. And you build a one-hour storyline. Three matches, to me, is a good three matches. And you let it ride. Three, and you may throw a fourth match in there with some promos, some backstage, and I think everything will be fine.
I totally
agree with you on that with the hour, 1 hour NXT. Or you do what, and I don't want to bring up the Attitude Era, but you develop the wrestlers. Give everybody a storyline. I go back to the Attitude Era because even, you know, Right the Censor had a story. You know what I'm saying? You had GTV had a story. Goldust had a story. You had Ken Shamrock had a story. Every wrestler on the roster was seen on a Monday Night Raw. And back then, some of the Raws were 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And on SmackDown. Everybody had a role. Today, you have a full roster, and there's some wrestlers we go weeks without seeing.
Yes, you do.
And so that's the development of, that's the character, that's where the writers have to come in. By the way, if you ever want to apply for the job, WWE's hiring a writer right now. If you go on the WWE website and go ahead, if you disagree with all the writing from the WWE, go ahead and apply. You know, but that's for the listeners. But yeah, you know, so everybody's complaining, but that's what the writers have to do, be able to incorporate everybody in there. So guess what? I'll become invested in somebody who I'm not supposed to be invested in. I can see him. I can recognize it. I mean, last time we seen Titus O'Neil on TV.
Oh, man. WrestleMania?
Right. I give you one better. My man, Buddy Murphy's been on SmackDown, been called up to SmackDown. And we haven't seen him yet.
That one's weird. What are they waiting on with that one? I don't know.
Right. Why call him up if you're not going to use him? Leave him on 205.
Okay. Here's what I'm going to say about that one. I think he had not overstayed. He pretty much eclipsed whatever was on 205 Live. Like, he was dominant over there to where they pretty much, you had to have Tony Nese beat him to get him off of that show. Because at this point, he was so much, the way he was booked was so much head over heels above the rest of the talent there. It was kind of like, okay, that, and he questionably looks, he looks suspiciously well over 205 pounds.
So, right.
Yeah, so he's had, I mean, it was good while it lasted, but go ahead and get him off of there.
Yeah, you know, my just thing is that if you're going to call him up, as we mentioned earlier, you do something with him. You know, we at least saw Cedric on Monday Night Raw. You know,
yeah.
You see those guys. Aleister Black has a new backstage segment now with, you know, things that he's doing now. It looks like they're going a different direction with Aleister Black. We see where we don't know where Bray Wyatt is going to end up, whether he's going to end up on Raw or he's going to end up on SmackDown, where they look like the brand split is coming to the end anyway because of the poor ratings. So we don't even know where W, you know, with this wild card rule, which that promo was stupid anyway. Just say, you know, we're going to let wrestlers go wherever they want to go. Because to break out a wild card, only three wrestlers can go here and three wrestlers can go there. And then on Monday Night Raw, we saw six wrestlers from SmackDown. I mean, you're doing your own storyline and faltering in a three-hour Raw.
Yeah, it is.
You didn't even give the shakeup or the shakeup a chance to shake out before you start pushing the panic button. I think WWE, whoever it is listening too much to social media and they're not doing their own thing. I think that sometimes you should listen to social media, i.e. Kofi Kingston, Becky Lynch, Daniel Bryan years ago, but there's sometimes where you know where you want to go, you continue to let it ride out and let the storyline play out. And not listen to the fans that much of basically what they're doing on social media, or the ratings going down.
Well, you know, I've been an advocate for that all the time, is that you listen to the fans to a certain extent, because at the end of the day, you are still the professional that is the one that's being hired for the creative job. You got to do what you got to do at this point. just go ahead and be. If it fails, it fails. I mean, but still listen to the fans. But you're being paid for a job to do it. They're not. You were hired in that position, not them. So you got to go ahead and do that.
Yeah, and that's it. I totally agree with you. You got to do what you got to do in order to get the job done as a wrestler, and to get the fans bought into it and invested in their character. But I think some of the segments, you don't have people that they are really buying into that character anymore. If we look at the characters, some people cannot relate to every character that's on the roster.
Yeah,
And the promos don't mean. Think about it, when we like The Rock, it was because of some promos and the work he put in the ring. When you like Stone Cold Steve Austin, it was because of the work he put in the ring and the promos. Even Kurt Angle, the work has to go with the promos, and the promos have to go with the work. And when these promos are scripted and there's no reality base to it, you lose the fan.
Right. No, you're absolutely right.
You know, don't believe me. Watch UFC. People lose UFC because there's no promo skills in UFC. I just beat you up and it just happened. But guys like Conor McGregor in the UFC, guys like Floyd Mayweather in boxing, who learned how to cut a promo. Chael Sonnen really wasn't that good in the ring, but he knew how to cut a promo. He made you want to buy his fight. And I think that's where WWE is missing out on it. These girls and guys haven't been able to cut promos like that a little bit now. And lose that. That's why we lost interest back to Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch's promos are not as – her social media game is better than her in-ring promo.
Yeah, you're right about that.
If we got to show Becky from social media, then I think fans would be more interested in Becky Lynch right now than they are in her title run as Becky 2.
Yeah, okay,
I get that. Ty was telling, like, I'm a true wrestling fan through and through. See some good times of wrestling, see some good bad times of wrestling, and I'm going to ride this bad boy out. I'm not cutting off Monday night. I'm not cutting off Tuesday. And I'm definitely still watching NXT on Wednesday night. So I'm not cutting out WWE wrestling, still watching Ring of Honor and New Japan when I get a chance to. So it's, to me, just to see some things change in WWE as far as promos, it will be a good time for WWE. And I think they will right the ship. They always do. Something always happens. Wrestling will get hot again, whether it's when AEW comes, or whether it's when WWE Cena comes back or Roman Reigns catch fire. But nonetheless, the WWE will get hot again, especially when competition around the corner. You know. So.
Yeah. No, it will. Absolutely.
All right. Well, hey, once again, man, good show. Let me just get some closing thoughts, and we can get up out of here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward actually to how this wild card thing is going to keep going, because we don't know how this is going to end up. And it may obviously just be the excuse of, yeah, just them, you know, okay, we're blurring the lines with the brand split, but I'm interested to see where that's going.
Definitely interested to see where the wild card is going. Definitely interested to see how Money in the Bank shapes out next week. Make sure you tune in to the Wrestling Marks Extra next week as we talk, give our Money in the Bank predictions. Also, make sure you hit that, go to iTunes, hit the subscribe button, go to Google Play, go to find us on Stitcher as well as iHeartRadio. Make sure you subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and never miss any of our shows. Catch us out on YouTube as well. Wizard, take us home.
Hey, if you're not confirmed, consider yourself denied.
End of story, ladies and gentlemen. Catch you next week.